Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. Rob, at the request of several news organizations, the governor's office has released 3 years' worth of personal emails that show the disintegration of his working relationship with former Lieutenant Governor Angela McClain. But I'm not sure they show us yet why he ended up basically firing her.
Yeah, that's right, Sally. The interest in these emails stems basically from questions about what actually transpired between the two of them. And the emails that we saw today suggest that initially, the relationship was quite warm, chatty, it's described as at one point, but then there was a real falling out that ultimately led to McClain being taken off some of her areas of policy interest and eventually resigning. And there have long been water cooler whispers that there is much more to this story than what we've heard. And a lot of people were thinking that these emails might shed light on what really happened. I think the emails don't really tell us anything new. If there is anything more to this story, it's not contained in these emails.
And unless Governor Bullock or Angela McClain say more, we're not likely to learn more.
No, it sure doesn't look like it.
Chuck, the latest campaign finance reports in the governor's race show both Governor Bullock and Greg Gianforte are raising lots of money, but a big chunk of Gianforte's treasure chest comes from his own bank account.
Yes, Sally. For the first time, Gianforte has put direct money into his campaign to the tune of $200,000. It's probably the first of a number of donations, but we don't know. Altogether, Gianforte's raised about $1.2 million, counting the $200,000, while Bullock's raised about $1.7 million. But, you know, the question is how much more money will Gianforte put in and will it become a campaign issue? It has become an issue in other states where candidates have put in millions of dollars, although I think there are probably examples where it's worked as well. So I think this is something to really watch. And as we've seen, he's got lots of money already spent on TV ads. And to my knowledge, Bullock has not run an ad. And that's the role of the challenger. You want to be out front and be on the attack. But with a large personal fortune like Gianforte has, he can keep spending money. But at some point, it may become an issue with the voters.
Well, Gianforte also this week said he will support whoever is the Republican nominee for president.
You know, in the end of the day, I will support whoever gets the nomination at the end. And that's really not my decision at the end of the day who gets the presidential nomination. I've been watching with interest, as well as I think many Montanans have. It may not have gone the way everybody wanted, but here we are, and we're each going to have to make a decision come November.
And Chuck, that's rather tepid support for the presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump.
Pretty lukewarm at that, Sally, although he didn't come out against Trump like House Speaker Paul Ryan did the other day. I think Republicans nationally are gnashing their teeth trying to figure out what they want to do, at least Republican elected officials and candidates. And I think Gianforte is among them.
Rob, many Republicans are worried that Donald Trump is going to hurt these down ballot candidates for Congress and for governor.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people are saying that the GOP controlled Congress is now in serious jeopardy with Donald Trump being the presumptive nominee, being the real face of the party. There's concern that that will stimulate people to come out and vote against Donald Trump, that it'll taint everyone on down the ticket. And I think this has to be something of a frustration for the Gianforte camp. They feel that they're in a good position to win this thing. Steve Bullock definitely has some advantages. He's the incumbent. He's relatively popular. It's a presidential election year, which tends to be good for Democrats. But Gianforte is running for governor in a Republican-leaning state. He can, as we were just talking about, self-fund his campaign, which is one of the big advantages of incumbency, right? So he wipes out the money advantage that Bullock would typically have. And so Republicans think that this governor's race in a straight-up head-to-head Gianforte versus Bullock matchup, they've got a pretty good shot. But now you have this real wild card in Donald Trump, who is just prone to saying erratic and unpredictable things. And we're already seeing now every Republican across the country is having to respond to the question, do you support the presidential nominee? And every time this summer and this fall, when Donald Trump says something off kilter, Gianforte and all the rest of the Republican candidates are going to be asked about it and asked to respond to it. What do you think about this? And that is not what Greg Gianforte wants to be talking about during this campaign.
And they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, right? Because if they say, I'm appalled by Donald Trump, then they're going to offend possibly his supporters who may traditionally vote Republican, probably.
Absolutely. It puts all these Republicans in a really tough position.
Chuck, there is a third candidate in the governor's race, Libertarian Ted Dunlap of Connor, who admits he's a long shot. But here's Mr. Dunlap talking about one of his concerns, which are chemtrails.
We should be proving or disproving the absence or presence of chemical spraying from in our atmosphere. If it's true, this is the most serious issue facing all of Montana.
And Chuck, I think he's the only candidate raising this issue, but that's often what third-party candidates do.
That's right, Sally. Libertarians often raise issues that aren't really on the front burner. In Montana, we've got a long tradition of libertarians running for office. They contribute in their own way, and they get usually from 2 to 4%, and in a close race, they could make a difference. It's widely thought that they help the Democratic candidates, although I'm not sure that's always the case, but I think it often is the case. Montanans are libertarian, lowercase libertarian in a lot of respects. We want to be left alone. We don't want the government in our lives. At least that's the rhetoric. But, you know, the libertarians always run, always fare pretty well. The Democrats usually fight to make sure they get into the debate, and the libertarians often go off on, you know, their own issues, which sometimes aren't really the ones the other two candidates are talking about. But they can play a role in the race.
And if they get enough votes, Rob, they can actually influence a tight race.
Absolutely. And a lot of Republicans feel like that's exactly what happened when Denny Rehberg and John Tester ran for that Senate seat a few years ago. Dan Cox, running as a Libertarian, according to Republicans, swung that very close election in John Tester's favor. And without Cox, we could very well have Denny Rehberg in the Senate. It's hard, of course, to know for certain whether or not that would have happened, because we don't totally know whether those people who voted for Cox would have still shown up to vote if a Libertarian wasn't on the ballot. And some of those votes, though probably not a majority, probably would have gone to a Democratic candidate over the Republican.
So if the Bullock Gianforte race is close, Ted Dunlap could play a role.
Absolutely. As a spoiler, sure.
Chuck, many Montanans are feeling the burn and rallying in support of Bernie Sanders this weekend in Butte. And one of the organizers is Montana resident and actress Margot Kidder, who says the presidential election is not over.
That's the mainstream media. It's nonsense. Bernie has pledged to fight for the last vote. We are with California on that last day.
And she's referring, of course, to Montana's June 7th primary. And lots of Bernie supporters, Chuck, are blaming the mainstream media for Bernie's struggle to win the Democratic nomination for president.
Yes, I've seen a lot of articles and letters to the editor and the like in which Sanders supporters make that very point. Of course, the networks and the AP and the national newspapers and NPR are all calculating, you know, potential delegates each candidate has racked up through the primaries, and it looks like a long shot for Bernie Sanders, but they feel like, you know, it's still a ball game or a horse race. I don't know that that's the case totally, but that's what you do when you're behind. You keep fighting, and it will be interesting to see how many people rally for him in Butte this weekend and what they decide to do. I haven't seen any polling on what the results look like in Montana, but it would not surprise me to see him do well in Montana in the primary next month.
And Rob, it wouldn't surprise me to see Bernie make a quick stop in Montana. What do you think?
I think there's probably a good chance. He's definitely going to be campaigning to the end. At least that's what he said so far. But he's also tacitly acknowledged that he's probably not going to be the nominee, right? Even Bernie Sanders has alluded to this. But he says he wants to keep going so he can get as many delegates as possible for the convention. And that isn't a meaningless endeavor, even if it's not possible for him to be the nominee at this point, because he wants to have some influence over the party platform and the shape of the party going forward. So it's certainly his right to stay in, and it would be fun to get some of these candidates out here ahead of the primary in June. But we shouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking that the Democratic nomination is still up for grabs.
The other thing to remember, and some of the Hillary Clinton supporters are saying it's time for him to cool the rhetoric and kind of gently get out of the race, but it's important to point out that she didn't do that when she was trailing Barack Obama in 2008. She fought till the end, and her supporters fought to the end. So I see nothing the matter with Sanders fighting to the end. That's what you do if you've fought this hard. You go to the finish line.
I was standing 20 feet from Hillary Clinton on the floor of the Democratic Convention in 08 when she conceded the race. It was a very dramatic moment that I'll never forget, certainly. Well, the pace of the political season is definitely picking up as the primary season lurches toward conclusion. And you've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock. And I've been speaking with former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. Guys, thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.